Welcome to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up later this hour, we'll talk with former religion reporter Gustav Niebuhr about his new book, Lincoln's Bishop. It's the story of Episcopal Bishop Henry Whipple, who urged President Lincoln to approach Native Americans with justice and mercy at the time of the Dakota War of 1862. Plus, the USAF Academy Band is celebrating Independence Day with several concerts around the Black Hills, and the band's tour director joins the program. But first, it's Wednesday and time for a weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. Joining the program is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, Roger Whittle. And Roger, thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be here, Carl.
And also with us on the line from Rapid City is KELO-TV reporter Kevin Wooster. And Kevin, thanks for your time as well.
It's so great to be back. I can hardly stand it.
Well, state Democrats held their convention this past weekend in Yankton. They failed to find candidates for three offices, attorney general, state auditor, or public lands commissioner. And this means the Republican candidates all win by default. Roger, why is it that Democrats in South Dakota aren't able to find a full slate of candidates to run for office?
Well, you know, there aren't many Democrats in South Dakota, and I think the Republican Party is so strong that the Democrats that are out there don't really want to run, knowing there's probably a very small chance of them winning, which makes sense. Nobody's going to want to get into a race and take that much time and effort it takes to run for office, knowing they're probably not going to win.
And Kevin, is that the case? It's just there aren't that many Democrats to begin with?
It's pretty tough. You start out with, I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but 50,000 votes. Advantage for the Republicans, a registered voter advantage, you know, and the Democrats have lost some numbers from that surge they had during the excitement over the Obama and Hillary Clinton primary, and about that time when things kind of really went up. And, you know, money is a problem. The campaign is a difficult chore for somebody who presumes he's probably not going to win or she's probably not going to win. I know folks like Nick Nemec here, you know, not long ago took that and ran against a tough PUC Republican and lost, but raised important issues along the way. And I know a lot of Democrats continue to do that, but it's pretty hard to fill all the spots when you're asking people to make an uphill run like that without enough money and with a real serious voted disadvantage and a you know, kind of a historical tendency to vote for Republicans for these offices.
Well, Roger, does it seem like any Democrats that get in the race would simply do it to raise issues if they know going into it that they're probably not going to win?
Well, these days that would be a difficult thing because, as Kevin said, it takes a lot of money to run a campaign these days, and I don't think. And with the scrutiny that you're under these days when you are a candidate, I don't think people are willing to put that much on the line just to get their message out.
Well, Kevin, we can go back to the 1970s. I think we have to go that far to find a time when we had a Democrat governor, Richard Canipe. Are, you know, what, 30, 40 years later, the Democrats, are they at their weakest point in history, or at least modern history?
Probably modern history, maybe you could say that. They're certainly beat up at this point. I mean, if you go back in time and before that magic two words for the Democrats, George McGovern, you saw very little Democratic power and very little Democratic, you know, victory. But George McGovern really built the party, as we all know, and they took advantage of some issues, too. And then you had kind of the multiplying effect of after he got things going on a grassroots level and took some important issues to people that the Democrats were strong on. You had a very charismatic fellow named Dick Knight that came along, and he was so good in retail politics and again, reached out on important issues. And then there were the times. You know, these were the late 60s and early 70s, and it was a different era, and there was a different political philosophy in every state, and including South Dakota. I think all that came together to really to create the heyday of the Democratic Party. And I don't know how you recapture that, especially without a George McGovern, because, you know, you really have to have that kind of energizing leader and also some key issues to make a turnaround in a situation like this.
Roger Whittle, do you see that there might be some young Democrats, maybe even in the legislature or out there in politics now, who might be able to re-energize the Democrats?
Boy, that's a tough job, as Kevin said, to take them from where they are now to anything resembling respectability. But there are some young Democrats out there who are, I think, solid and well-liked and well-respected. We've got one up here in Wilmot, the Senate Minority Leader, Jason Furyk. I think everybody in the state respects and likes him, and I think there's a lot of Democrats hoping that eventually he'll aim at a statewide or even a national campaign.
Well, looking at the weakness of the Democrats in South Dakota, and then when you get to these races where the Democrats aren't fielding any candidates, Kevin, does it hurt the state then? Does it hurt the voters that they don't have a choice in every race?
Well, I can't point to anything right now that would say that it does, but I think it does. I mean, I think it's always better to have a mix of options for voters, and to also have some clout on the other side, so that it isn't all just one party rule, which we often have in South Dakota. You know, and the congressional situation's been different because the Democrats have, at least in recent times, been able to hold positions there and to bring some balance to our tiny little congressional delegation. But even that, obviously, is on the verge of going away if you presume that Mike Rounds is going to take the seat held by Tim Johnson, and certainly he's the front runner there. I just think it's always better. I think there was better legislation came out of the state house when the Democrats had a house, the Senate when they held for a couple of terms, and I think it adds to negotiations and adds to more discussions and maybe in the end a little better result sometimes.
And Roger Whittle, what do you think?
Oh, I would agree. I think it's just wrong. No matter how solid these elected officials are, when they run for re-election, they should have to defend what they've done in office, and or even if you're running for the first time, you should have to stand up and tell the voters what you plan on doing. When there's nobody to run against you, you're just handed the seat, and I think that is a bad thing for everybody.
Well, does the weakness of the Democrats over this period just simply suggest, Kevin, that South Dakotans are generally happy with the directions the Republicans are taking the state?
Well, I certainly think that's part of it. I think you find most people who live here think this is a pretty decent place to live. We have our issues with teacher pay and, you know, some of the problems we've had over the years and highway problems and backups on bridge fixing and things like that. But mostly people are happy, and I think until they're really unhappy, they tend not to want to make a dramatic change. And I think it's also easier with tradition, with history, and to just kind of ride along and think, well, things aren't going too bad the way it is now. And that's kind of who we are. We're kind of conservative, although not as conservative as some people think, because there's also this populist strain here. And I guess, you know, one of the things is, how does that minority party reach out and touch that populist strain? And it's a difficult proposition because you're working against so many factors against you.
And Roger Whittle, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think for the Democrats to come back, there's going to have to be an interesting alignment of issues and personalities, and they're all going to have to come together at the right time, like they did in the early McGovern era. Let's hope we're all around to see it.
Well, South Dakota Republicans have hired a consultant that political junkies probably know, a man named Dick Wadhams. He's advising the state GOP candidates. He was the man who managed John Thune's victory over Tom Daschle. And Kevin, what can he do for Republican candidates? And does the party even need a consultant, given the strength of the party in the state, as we were just talking about?
Well, you have trouble believing that Mike Rounds wouldn't be doing pretty well on his own without Dick Wadhams. But Dick Wadhams is a, you know, widely respected Republican consultant, and he's got some experience here with, you know, 2004 race and John Thune over Tom Daschle. And I think he's interested in South Dakota and still has connections here, too. And I always can accuse some of my Republican friends of overkill. For heaven's sakes, you know, what do you guys want? Everything? And basically the answer is yes. We want all the positions. We want all the congressional positions. We want to hold every position in the state house, and we want to dominate both houses of the legislature. And I guess I can understand that, because if you are a party and you believe in party principles, I guess you presume that the state and the nation is better off if they're following those principles. I don't happen to agree on that, because I don't think either party has all the ideas, and I wish that we could come to some sort of more, you know, mixed political situation here. But the Republicans are going to keep putting the hammer down. They've got the resources to do it. They've got the the standing to do it, and they've got the registered voters to do it.
And Roger Whittle, can the Democrats find a consultant that can help them, or is it just that they don't have the resources to bring a big name or a high-powered consultant to the state?
Yeah, it's all that. I think one consultant isn't going to help them from the point they are now, and I think for the Republicans, bringing in this guy is like almost bringing in a howitzer into a water pistol fight. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference in the election, but he did do a good job with the Rounds campaign. I don't think people were thinking that Rounds was going to sail through the primary as easily as he did, with the hard right wing of the party saying he wasn't conservative enough. But he did come through okay, and if he can do the same thing for the other GOP candidates, then they have nothing to worry about.
On Monday, this past Monday, former U.S. Senate candidate Annette Bosworth pleaded not guilty to violating election laws, and another former U.S. Senate candidate, Clayton Walker, was indicted on similar charges, and he's scheduled for a court date this coming Monday. Kevin, we've got two candidates here facing similar charges at the same time. How unusual is this?
Well, it seems kind of unusual to me, and at some point you might want to start paying a little bit more attention to detail for both of them, just because this is a detail era in those campaign and election law things. And I think, I don't know that it says very much about the party, because these are kind of outsiders to that process, but kind of interesting candidates. And Annette Bosworth in particular is sort of unique in many ways as a candidate in terms of those that I've covered in recent years. And she even here, I think she had a little bit of trouble accepting all the responsibility for this. It's an entertaining and kind of unsettling spectacle in some ways, but I don't know what it says about the politics in South Dakota, and I certainly don't know that it says anything specifically about the Republican politics.
Is part of it, Roger, do you think, that you know the attention to details that Kevin was just talking about, that we have two novice political candidates here that maybe, I don't know, got in a little bit over their head, or just didn't get the advice and direction that perhaps they needed from someone else?
You know, that could be, but I think they're making, especially Bosworth, they're making things more difficult by making it such a high profile. I mean, I think if she just would have admitted her mistake, she would have gotten a small fine and everything would have been forgotten by now, but instead she first says she did nothing wrong, then she blames her lawyer, then she says that Marty Jackley is out to get her. I think she just would have kept a little bit lower profile. None of this would have gotten to the point where it has. But as a newspaper person, I'm glad. It makes great copy.
Well, moving out to Rapid City and local politics there, Mayor Sam Quaker's second choice for police chief, Carl Jegeris, was approved by the city council. This came after his original choice was rejected as unqualified. And in an email to a local blogger, the mayor accused two city councilors of racism. And Kevin, I'm wondering what this reflects with what's going on in city government. Is there a high level of animosity there, or is this just a disagreement over a police chief?
Well, I think it's certainly both. There's some ongoing animosity and some division on the council, which is always an entertaining council, and certainly I think you'd have trouble finding more entertaining one than this over time. And it's interesting that Mayor Quaker took that. Obviously, he took the rejection of his candidate, Lieutenant Elias Diaz, very hard and personally. And to get him to come out and send an email that he knew would end up being public, alleging racism against two members of the council who voted against his first candidate, and which was interesting to me because he made his allegations against Bill Clayton and Charity Doyle, and I don't have any. He made a reference to a book that Charity Doyle had written by her husband, Tim Doyle, who's an officer in the force, one of those, the one officer who survived the shooting here, the high-profile shooting here a couple of years ago when two other officers died, and widely respected here in town. They wrote a book that I didn't read, but it's interesting that she mentioned Bill Clayton, or that the mayor mentioned Bill Clayton, because he was sort of charged with racism by a reporter here, a TV reporter, a black reporter, who admitted making very insensitive comments to. He said he was on a phone interview and didn't know that she was black when he said maybe she should go back to Kenya with Obama, which was, of course, just exploded with coverage here. And the two of the people that were supportive of him were the two people that supported Mayor Quaker's first choice for chief. So it's interesting that he's alleging racism against one of the vast majority that voted against that. But the two people who did support him were supporting of one of the people that he alleged racism against. So it gets more complicated and more soap opera like, I think, as things go on.
Well, Argus Leader reporter David Montgomery, who, like you, used to write for the Rapid City Journal, said that Rapid City has the best local politics in the state. Is that something? It sounds like you maybe agree with that a little bit.
Pretty hard to beat the local politics here in Rapid City. I've seen some pretty interesting things go on in Sioux Falls when I was down there, but I'm telling you, you just never know what's next out here. It's the Old West in a lot of ways.
All right. Well, that'll have to do it for the Dakota Political Junkies this week. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Have a good 4th of July.
You too. Thanks very much.
And Roger, thanks as well, and have a great Independence Day.
Thank you.
Kevin Wooster is Rapid City reporter for KELO-TV, and Roger Whittle is managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, and the Dakota Political Junkies are a regular Wednesday feature of Dakota Midday.